in line with Beth Espy.
First of my good afternoon, Beth and Howard in for Andy again today. The final time, he'll be back on Monday. So for the next hour, over to you. What is on your mind? 66 13 68 is the number if you'd like to have a chat live on air. You can also text 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. The financial year end today. If you are a WorldPay user, are you having any issues getting hold of your money? We've just heard no live music at the TT Fan Park. Good news for residents, not so good maybe for TT fans heading up there. And the last day of the bus fare price cap. All that and much more to talk about, but anything at all, it is an open line, so we welcome any comments from you whatsoever. Now, we did mention at the end of yesterday's show that Manx Telecom were putting their prices up, and if you're a customer, you may well have received that news through the post yesterday. Already a few comments about that. Does the 12.5% increase include VAT, or will this charge mean a further increase to people's bills of the VAT being charged on the interest in the increase in the rental cost? That was from Baz. Well, the price rises stated exclude VAT, so that will be put on top of it. We also had another email saying, in reality, for all non-business users, this is in fact a 15% increase once you add the VAT, which domestic users and small businesses cannot recover. Well, we did ask to speak to Manx Telecom and we were given this statement from the CEO, Gary Lamb. He says, we are sorry to have to increase prices at this time. Unfortunately, it's necessary to pass on some of the rising costs we are experiencing as a business so that we can maintain our services and continue to invest in the island's telecommunications infrastructure. He goes on to say, as a responsible and community-focused company, we have protected our most vulnerable customers and there will be no increase to the low user choice social inclusion tariff. There will also be no increase to fibre broadband rental services as we continue to work with the Isle of Man government on the National Broadband Plan to make superfast fibre broadband services accessible in 9 hard-to-reach areas. Another message about the Manx Telecom increases. My contract has increased by £7, my landline by £6 and my broadband by £6. How is this being allowed in the current climate when we have electricity prices crippling residents? And Howard, just one yesterday following on from our chat about deck chairs. John got in touch to say Marine Drive could easily be repaired. Deck chairs are reinstated in Port Erin.
Ah, well, there you go. You see, they are going to stage a comeback, as we were suggesting. Stranger things do happen, as I say, if you look at the vinyl revival, vinyl records. Who'd have thought that 20, 30 years ago, people would still be, and a whole new generation, buying vinyl when you've got downloads and Spotify and everything else, all your favourite streaming platforms. Going back to deck chairs? Not impossible, I dare say. And that was a theme a little bit yesterday, wasn't it? It was going back to the glory days, perhaps, of the Isle of Man when it was so busy with tourism. And then some of the spots which perhaps people felt, Marine Drive in particular, could we do more with it? It's always been a beautiful, beautiful part of the island, a lovely road. In days gone by, people of a certain age, you could drive along it. That's not been the case for a long time. Still a very popular spot with walkers, cyclists, dog walkers and such like. But I confess, I haven't been along for a while from end to end. I know a lot of people go every day and a few people who are regulars were saying it's in a pretty poor state of repair. And I think that's the main thing, whether it's motorised or whether it's pedestrians only. Surely perhaps we should look after it and make it look attractive and we could do more. And that went on to things like on the promenade. People were talking about the lifts as well, weren't there? The old chair lifts and some of these things. And amazingly, if you go to parts of Britain, I went to Saltburn, I think, last year. There, they have some of those old lifts still in operation and they were busy. They were busy. Amazing.
Other comments in this lunchtime, we had a message from Roy to say, why have they cancelled the live music up at the TT Village Grandstand but haven't down at the prom? I've been complaining for years about it and nothing has been done. Roy says, as soon as folks in the posh houses complain, something is done. Well, what do you make of the changes that have been announced? If you haven't seen the full line of them, you can go to manxradio.com. We've heard from the TT head of production at the Department of Enterprise, Andy Spears, and he's written to local residents ahead of the event, which is not very long away now, outlining some of the changes this time round, which, as we know, termination of live music, professional traffic management around the St Ninians area, and actually something that is possibly an issue for residents up there is the parking. So there's going to be access to 24/7 support for key residents if any parking issues occur. And the department says it is going to work with Douglas Council to consider alternative venues during the MGP to support the large volume of visitors. So any thoughts on that this lunchtime? When you do your What's On Guide slot, could you do a shout out for the above event? Well, we certainly can do, but actually it's very easy to add your own What's On event if you just email reception@manxradio.com, or you can go to the What's On Guide, the information guide at manxradio.com and add it yourself. Interestingly, though, this is something that caught our eye. The World Pay issue. I don't know if you're a business which uses World Pay. I know many of them do. We are, of course, at the end of the financial year, so it's a time where you have to get your finances in order. But on the one show on the BBC on Wednesday during their Watchdog segment, they were talking about issues with how long it's taking for World Pay to pass on funds. And we just wondered, as I say, if any of you were having any problems. Here's part of that programme's report by Nikki Fox.
Whether it's a snack, a drink, or picking up a cute present, taking payments by card is vital for any business. However,
we've heard from small business owners who say their customers have been paying by card, but the company responsible for processing the payments hasn't passed that money on.
The company, Worldpay. Hairdresser Jennifer Taylor sent us this SOS.
Worldpay owe me nearly £7,000. I have a VAT bill looming, plus I'm just worried I'm going to be able to pay my goals.
Worldpay processes around 40% of all UK card transactions. It's supposed to pass money from the shopper's bank account to the business after taking a cut. But
towards the end of last year, Worldpay started checking lots of its customers' information.
And problems with these due diligence checks have led to major delays. In February, Jennifer of Oshin's Hair Boutique in Kent noticed she hadn't had any payments through for several weeks.
Did you receive any warning from Worldpay that they were going to stop your payments?
I didn't receive any warning. No letter, no phone call, nothing.
Jennifer contacted Worldpay and was asked to provide documents for verification.
That day, I sent them everything they asked for. Name, date of birth, what nationality I was. Then I phoned every day and still no payments were released.
So did they cut off your Worldpay card terminal?
No, it just kept running all the time. And they just kept taking everyone's money but not passing it to me.
40% of Worldpay's reviews on Trustpilot give the firm the worst possible rating, with due diligence checks a frequent complaint. So what is going on? Michael Harrison is a lecturer in finance at the University of East London. He tells me that in recent months, Worldpay announced it's splitting from its parent company, and new regulations mean it has to update customer records, so it might be in a hurry to complete that before the split.
I would have expected Worldpay to have made multiple attempts to contact these companies by multiple different means before taking such a drastic step.
Within hours of Watchdog contacting Worldpay, Jennifer and Steve received their long-awaited money. Worldpay told Watchdog it apologises for the financial impact and distress this issue may have had on them both, and that it has taken steps to resolve this. Worldpay did not respond to further questions raised by Watchdog.
That's Nikki Fox from the Watchdog segment of The One Show on the BBC that was broadcast on Wednesday. Well, we did contact Worldpay for a response as well, and I'm sure if they weren't keen to answer Watchdog's questions, they'll be clamouring to answer the ones that I put to them. But if you are a Worldpay user and you've had any issues, we'd be really interested to hear from you. There aren't a great deal of options over here for people using facilities like that, so it'd be good to find out what's going on for you. Let's go to the lines and join Dodsey now. Good afternoon, Dodsey.
Hello, Beth, Howard, and listeners, of course. Yeah, just a quick one, of course. With the buses having their fixed price at the moment, Surely more people will be using the buses if it's a fixed price. In fact, why can't the island have just one price rather than having, say, 50p here or 80p there, or, you know, why can't it just be a fixed price, say, permanently rather than having to fluctuate it all the time? I think then more people would be incentivized to go on the bus, perhaps.
Interesting point, Dodsey. I'm just going to say, I mean, this has been in for a few months now, this price cap. Have you used the bus at all?
Unfortunately, I don't. I mean, 5 days out of seven, I mean, I work as a delivery driver, and on the weekends, I use my wife's car to ferry the kids to swimming or whatever the matter needs to go. So I don't really rely on the buses, to be honest. But, I mean, I just thought there are people out there that do rely on the buses, and I thought if there was like a single island tariff for the folks to use the buses, couldn't that be more simpler?
I mean, yeah, I hear what you're saying, but I think the problem probably is the number of people who use the buses. It was hoped that this would support people, particularly in the cost of living crisis that we're having at the moment, to use the bus because it'd be cheaper than cars. But actually, the vast majority of people who think it's a good idea haven't actually used the bus in that time. So, you know, they have to pay for their transport and everything that goes with it somehow, don't they?
Yeah, I suppose. I just thought it would be easier for some people, you know, to have it so that it was a fixed fee rather than having to change all the time. But
yeah, it'd be interesting, I think, to see what the figures have been like over the past few months, and I'm sure they will be looking at that and seeing what the uptake has been. But yeah, good point, Dodsey. Thank you.
Cheers, Beth.
All right. You too. Good to talk to you. Thank you very much indeed. Dodsey there talking about the price cap. It ends today. So if you wanted a £2 maximum fare, today is your last time to jump on the bus and do that. Onken commissioners accept World Pay payments for rates. Hope they are on top of things as the rate payment season is coming. That is from G. Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, isn't it? As I say, it's if you are a medium to small business and you're trying to get your finances in order, it's really important to do that at this time of year. And if it's being held up by something that's not your fault, that's potentially quite a serious problem. Some other thoughts, H?
Yep, some thoughts coming through indeed. No live music doesn't mean no music at all. There could still be noise for the locals, says a texter ending 223, and I'm sure that's possibly the case. Jeff says, all the marine drive is used for these days is for litter lads throwing bags of rubbish over the cliffs. You certainly do get fly tipping there. I don't know whether it can be apportioned to anyone in particular. I assume you could possibly check some of it. We could get there and find out who was doing it. And I know it has been an issue in the past, hasn't it? Again, I must go and take a walk along the Marine Drive to see what it's like these days. Myself, it's been a while since I've been there. Whether it is down to individuals or larger organisations, I wouldn't like to say. a texter ending 292. Could be slightly tongue-in-cheek, this, I don't know. I'm complaining about several things, including some things I've complained about before. I'm also complaining about some things I've heard some of the other people complaining about. There aren't also any complaints about the other complaints. Thanks. I don't know whether that's actually a complaint or not, or maybe it's just praising those who are complaining. DNS says, Marine Drive seems to be safe enough for the car rallies. Well, I think you can drive, I think, as far as I'm aware, the car rallies just goes as far as the gate, doesn't it? That first section is open, obviously, to traffic. You can't drive, though, all the way from the Douglas side over to Port Sodrick and beyond, as used to be the case, going right the way through, can you? It's sort of blocked off on that gate about halfway, three quarters of the way through, is it? Somewhere around there. And the question is, could we open the whole thing up again, I suppose, if we wanted to, for roads. One final one, John was on, I was just chatting to. He said, oh, I'm full of a cold, so I don't want to go on air because I'm a bit choked up. It was the deck chairs.
Oh, yes.
John was saying there used to be a chap called Frank Shimmon, he remembered, and he said he used to store lots of the old deck chairs. He owned them, John said, and he used to be stored in a house down on the quayside. And he says, as far as I know, some of them could still be there. So if there was a revival, who knows, we could bring them back and do some of them up, renovate the deck chairs.
And we could watch them from up here. That sounds weird, actually, doesn't it? Does that sound a little bit weird?
Yes, it does.
OK. Robbie has been back in touch. You might remember that Robbie has been in touch a couple of times about his recycling that wasn't picked up in part of Douglas, and Douglas Council not aware of any issues. Good news, Robbie's recycling was picked up today at 9:30 after 4 weeks. They also picked up his neighbours as well after 6 weeks. So not sure what the issue was there, but good to know that it's gone now. Crystal has been in touch to say, we the people are being squeezed out like lemons. Where do we find the extra juice to pay these unrivaled service providers who are charging us a fortune that most of us don't have? Being ill and disabled already, barely existing, it's not a life, it's a railroad of poverty through their greed. Thank you very much indeed, Crystal, for getting in touch with that thought. Any other thoughts, comments or questions this lunchtime, be very welcome. 66 13 68 is the number to call if you'd like to have a quick chat live on air about anything you like. Or you can text us 166 177, studio@manxradio.com is the email. Or you can find us on WhatsApp. WhatsApp? That's a very unusual way of saying it. Don't laugh at me. Don't.
What's up? What's up?
Yeah, what was that advert? There was that advert. What's up?
Yeah, I don't know what
it's
for.
What was it for?
Wasn't for the man in line, I'll tell you that much.
Okay. Right, let's have a break.
The Man in Line with Beth Espy.
It is 12:24. Lovely to have your company this lunchtime. Normal service resuming on Monday when Andy will be back in the chair. He'll be joined by members of the Manx Labour Party on Monday, Joni Farragher and Sarah Maltby. So if there are any questions you'd like to get in ahead of time, you can always use our answer phone number 682-631. Thanks so much for your message, Fran. And Fran also asks, how on earth are our poor, hard-done-to politicians going to manage 2 weeks quaffing champagne and eating the best of food without live music over TT? Oh, Fran, you are awful. From James here saying car rallies do go through the entire length of Marine Drive. Oh, yeah, and the advert was Budweiser. Thank you. No music at the grandstand for TT. Is this a clandestine move by government to tone down and eventually phase out the TT? It's only 2 weeks in a year. Stop moaning or move. Interesting one, isn't it? I wonder, though, if you live in that area and you have issues with the live music and the volume of it, perhaps maybe this is a move that is welcome there. Let's go to the lines, though, and join Trevor now. Good afternoon, Trevor.
Good afternoon. I got a letter from Manx Telecom this morning, and it was quite frightening, actually. It had got all the new tariffs and all the new costs of having a phone with Manx Telecom, and there was a big load of on sheets of it. And my wife looked at it and panicked, and she passed it to me, and I looked at it and panicked. And so I rang up Manx Telecom and said, what's happening, and can you please tell me what all this 22% and 7 pence here and 5 pence there means? And the lady, very helpful, Ellie her name was, and she said, oh, I'll check for you. And she checked and she said, there will be no extra cost to you whatsoever. You're on fibre broadband and there's no alterations, so you won't get an increase in your bill, which I was so pleased about. So I thought I'd just say about it, because a lot of people must have got these letters and they're going to panic when they read them. So if they do get one, ring up Manx Telecom and find out what it's about, because it was quite worrying that all these extra costs were going to be dumped on me.
So, no, that's a really,
you know.
Thank you, Trevor. That's a really good point, because it was quite a lengthy letter, and I don't know.
Oh, you got one, did
I
you?
Did get one. Did I read it all? Possibly not.
No.
But that's the thing, isn't it? If you're bombarded with the figures, it's hard to sort of pin down exactly what it means for you. Yeah. So great to hear that you had such a good reception from Ellie there. That's really lovely.
I did. She did very well. And I was just speaking to the young man, and you just played this thing about WorldPay.
Yes.
Now, I couldn't hear a word of it.
Oh, sorry.
Wasn't your fault. No, it's not your fault. It's the way they do these programs. And there's all this music playing and ping-pong, bing-bong, piano playing while people are talking. And I've only got one ear that works, so when they play music and they make all these funny noises while people are talking, it completely throws me. I can't hear a word of it.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean. So, Trevor, that was actually taken, as I say, from the programme, which was broadcast on Wednesday.
Yeah,
and I did wonder about the music underneath it, because sometimes it adds to it and sometimes it doesn't. So I'm sorry you couldn't hear any of that.
No, it's not your fault. I'm not complaining to you. It's just a general thing. When you get, you know, to my age and you've either got a hearing aid or your ears don't work or you've got tinnitus, all these extra noises just completely put you off. you know, and you can't sort of distinguish from the noise and the talking and all the background. So it's just me, I'm old.
No, I don't think it is just you. It's not just you, Trevor. It's a good point, and thank you. We take it on board.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. I love the programme. It's fantastic.
Oh, well, thank you. Oh, Trevor, have a lovely weekend. Take care.
And yourself. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now.
Bye. Oh, lovely message there from Trevor. Lovely to hear from him. 66 13 68. Lots of time for you to get in touch if you'd like to have a quick chat on air about anything. Just been asked to repeat the information about the long COVID meeting, which is happening on Monday. This is where those living with ME and long COVID have a chance to meet those running the new service for patients with one of the two conditions. Manx Care is holding a launch event for its recently opened ME and long COVID service on Monday afternoon. Next week's event is at Kildare at Nobles Hospital, and it's a chance to meet the team and find out more about what's on offer. So the event at Kildare, which is just in the hospital grounds, if you've not been there before, it's really easy to find. Actually, it's really well signposted. You've got the main building, but just in front of it on the road up to it is the Kildare area. There are a couple of disabled parking spaces outside, but you might just need to check on that and get there early just to check on the parking. But the event gets underway at 1 p.m. on Monday. There's a formal presentation by members of the team and ME support Isle of Man. That's scheduled for between 2:30 and 3:30, and then there will be a question and answer session, and we will be going along to the event, so we'll have some news on that for you in Monday's update and also on Tuesday morning's breakfast as well. Let's go to the lines and join Alison now. Good afternoon, Alison.
Hi Beth, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. I just want to make people aware, I sit on a local authority on the island, and we have recently received a service level agreement document from the government to do with highway maintenance. They're wanting to hand over more responsibility for the highways to the local authority, hence that will mean an increase in rates if it goes through. They're moving it from taxpayers to ratepayers, you know, with no incentive. When this happened a number of years ago, they handed over hedge cutting, etc., gully emptying to the local authorities. But we received a reduced rate for disposing of our waste at the Energy from Waste plant. There's none of that this time, and Minister Thomas is working his way around the local authorities on the island, talking to them about it. But I also sit on the Association of the Municipal Board, which is representatives from the local authorities, and we meet once a month. And there isn't one local authority that is in favour of accepting this from the government. It won't happen this year. I know that because rates have been set. But what we also need to remember is that very few local authorities actually employ people who would be able to fix pavements, etc. So
it's a tricky one, this, isn't it, Alison? Because I suppose there will be those who feel that local authorities are best placed to know their local area and potentially deal with issues more quickly, perhaps.
Well, yeah, but then they, you know, they're very keen on the Report a Problem website app, and state that, you know, they will, if somebody reports a road or defect pavement, they will have it fixed within 24 hours. I can't, to be honest, I can't see that happening in the local authorities. Plus, it's the insurance issue also. So, you know, it would mean a big hike in rates, because the local authorities, excuse me, would have to reevaluate their public liability insurance, etc.
And presumably, you've spoken to DOI about this?
A number of the local authorities have. We have Minister Thomas coming to see us in June.
I know you're saying many of the local authorities do not want this to happen. Have you asked the ratepayers themselves?
They don't know about it. The ratepayers don't know about it.
What do you imagine their response will be if it perhaps is sold on the basis that, you know, things will be dealt with in the local area by people who know the area?
I mean, that's all very well and good, but at the end of the day, you know, with everything increasing cost-wise, the cost of living now, and then a probable hike in rates to deal with any potential pavement and road defaults. But, you know, what we would also ask is that the pavements and roads, if, and it's a big if this does get handed over, that they are handed over in absolute pristine condition.
Good luck.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Alison, thank you. That's a really interesting point. Thank you for making us aware of that. Let us know how that meeting is. So you're meeting in June. Are you planning on writing to the ratepayers and letting them know before then?
Well, we are writing, as a municipal association, we're writing to the DOI to say that, you know, the local authorities are not in favour of this. But we're also inviting Chris Thomas to Municipal Association meeting to meet with the representatives.
So, and do we know when that is?
Hopefully July, but I will keep you informed.
Wonderful. Alison, thank you very much indeed. Lovely to talk to you.
Okay, thanks, Beth. Bye.
Take care. That's Alison from Around Commissioners there talking about the service level agreement with the DOI. Wonder what you think about that. Big Al has been in touch to say, not wishing to be picky, but ME and chronic fatigue are not the same. Fully appreciate that, but this is the ME and long COVID team, so apologies if I didn't make that clear. No music at the grandstand for TT Week is a great move. As a team owner and having to live with the riders and team in the competitors' RV park, we have to suffer with loud noise when we are trying to rest and relax after a long day of preparation and racing. Last year, the competitors staying in the park lost electricity power for most of the fortnight. No consideration has been given to riders over the years, the very people who pay to put on the show. Message again from Baz, raising a legal point about Manx Telecom telling us of an increase of 12.5%. This is incorrect when the actual increase is 12.5% plus VAT, which is a bigger amount. I would say, Baz, I think on the letter that most MT customers will have received, it does state on there that VAT is excluded. Can someone explain, says June, why government can transfer road and pavement repairs to local authorities? Is government transferring road tax duty to local government? Frank wants to know, hi Alison, does anyone know what's happened to the benches that used to be spread out every 50 yards or so from the beginning of the prom to the end, as us oldies need them to rest as we walk? An earlier customer reported that Manx Telecom customers using fibre will not have any increase to their accounts. This discriminates against customers who want fibre but live in areas of Douglas and Onchan, and Manx Telecom cannot provide this service, especially when MT has received over £11 million of taxpayers' money to provide a fibre service. That is from Peter. They did state in their statement that they were aware there were some hard-to-reach areas, and that's what they were working towards. Just listening to Alison, says Fran, well, folks, this isn't a new thing, and it's down to certain former MHKs who appear to be launching a military coup by the way they bang on. Not sure who's referring to. Howard, any other thoughts?
Plenty of thoughts streaming in on most of the topics we've been discussing today on both sides of the lack of music at the TT area. We heard someone there, as you were just reading out, saying, well, they thought it was a good thing for a lot of the competitors. And of course, it's the competitors and teams, as that texter made clear. They are the people who provide the entertainment around which the whole TT fortnight is built, of course. And as we all know, I think when we had the year without TT during Foot and Mouth, wasn't quite the same. I mean, you take the bike racing away, you can keep all the side attractions, but it's not the same. So, yeah, it's absolutely what it's all about in many ways. Why would anyone come to the racing, says this texter, with what is going on? Don't do this, don't do that. We want your money, but we don't want to do anything for it. Just send it over on a boat. Another texter here says, it's the rumbling about the news again, yes. And I know this is something of, again, a clear divide between people, usually between younger people and older people, about music behind news pieces. I agree about the rumbling sound behind news pieces sometimes, says Sue. It doesn't enhance it at all, and it makes it harder to hear, and I don't have any hearing problems. I know that's something of an issue which has been going on for some time. And one more for you. I've bought a phone on contract with MP, with the Manx Telecom. Surely they can't alter the terms of sale.
It's interesting, isn't it, that the news item and the music behind it is an interesting one, because when we're thinking about doing things on radio, very often we think about it being audio wallpaper, if you like, and trying to make it stand out. And so very often we use tools like that to try and make packages sound more interesting, but we do welcome your thoughts on it. Pete has been in touch to say, regarding the change of responsibility for roads from government to local authorities, so the cost will be on rates, how would this impinge on those living on unadopted roads? Well, really interesting fact that Alison has made us aware of. Of course, we will follow this up and try and get some more information about it for you. So do keep listening, and we will tell you what we know when we know it. Does that sound clear enough? You listen to The Man in Line. It is coming up to 12:40. Still time for you to have a chat live on air, 66 13 68. Now, you might have heard on Breakfast this morning that a number of key issues have been highlighted as government presented a suicide prevention strategy at a public meeting last night. Public Health says the starting point is that suicide is preventable, and if this is the case, it says the logical ambition for the Isle of Man is zero suicides. Anecdotally, it's been revealed there have been 7 instances of people taking their lives on the Isle of Man, and that is just since the start of the year. Ross Bailey is Manx Care's Integrated Mental Health Services Manager, and he believes current laws are out of date.
The local Mental Health Act is dated 1998, but effectively it's almost identical to the 1983 Mental Health Act. So in real terms, our Mental Health Act, which we're working with at Cohen, hasn't changed. You know, I know there's certainly an appetite to amend and address that and to rewrite the Mental Health Act so it can work with the upcoming capacity legislation, and that should be a priority.
That is Ross Bailey, Manx Care's Integrated Mental Health Services Manager. Our reporter Christian Jones went along to the meeting last night. There's a really comprehensive report at manxradio.com on this. It's an incredibly sensitive and difficult issue. And if you are affected by it in any way, you can find links to support on the Manx Radio article as well. Back to the lines, and let's join Julian now. Good afternoon, Julian.
Hey, Beth. Last day, eh? It's gone quick.
It has, hasn't it?
I know. Just a quick one. I notice in West Clare in Ireland, their planning authority, Anbord Planála, appeals board, has just blocked a 10,600-foot high turbine wind farm because of worries about bird strikes and deaths based on some of the other wind farms in the area that have are now getting a load of hassle from locals because they're fed up with them killing the birds, apparently, especially raptors. So I thought it'd be just a little bit interesting to have a look on Manx BirdLife's website. They've currently, on their red list of endangered birds on the island, have got 48, including kestrels and merlins, and 68 on the amber list, including hen harriers and peregrine falcons. And from memory, I think the peregrine falcon is on our coat of arms, actually, so that'd be a bit unfortunate. But it might be interesting to note that we've got 116 birds either within the red or the amber list when we're talking about putting turbines on the island. I hope the Manx BirdLife might come on and just make some comment about that.
Yeah, always interesting to hear from everybody. And we know that when things like this, when projects like this come up, there are always other implications. But very often there's new technologies and there's new ways of dealing with it. So, yeah, it would be interesting to talk to them and find out about it. Julian, as ever, thank you so much indeed. So we are going to be paying for the DOI and then paying local authority to do their work. Oh, well, we can find comfort that government knows we are struggling. That is from G. Here's a nice one, H. One public-spirited individual keeps the grass cut at the beginning of Marine Drive, puts the government to shame. They need to maintain it. That is from John.
Yeah, and we have heard of that sort of idea before, haven't you? People who just take it into their own hands, and to a degree, I suppose, that was the very essence of something like Beach Buddies, when Bill Dale started it all that time back, saying, look, you know, the authorities don't have the time, money, manpower, resources to do this. We want the island to look nice, so right, let's do it ourselves in some cases. And there are lots of examples. Beach Buddies has been a fantastic success, of course, and the idea copied around the world. And then there are individuals as well, again, and I'm sure this person isn't alone, who take it upon themselves thinking, right, this is my local area, it doesn't look very smart, no one's doing anything with it, I will actually spruce it up myself. The only thing sometimes you hear, which you have to be careful of this, I suppose, if it's not your land and you're actually doing anything, even if you're trying to improve it, keep it neat, keep the hedges trimmed, etc., there's always that risk someone might take umbrage and say, well, you shouldn't be doing that, that's not your land.
interesting one, but like I say, I mean, Beach Buddies is a great example of people power, isn't it?
It is, and it shows just what can be done. And of course, it's extended now. They've been doing rivers, they've been doing glens, so many of these areas. You like to think that we've all got a vested interest in keeping them smart and attractive for everyone to use, tourists and locals alike. And you know what's so often the case, and I think anyone who's gone travelling around the world, you see the people who are usually the worst litterers are the people who actually live in the area.
You are listening to The Man in Line, Beth and Howard with you for another 15 minutes or so. So still time for you to have a quick chat on air about anything you would like to this lunchtime. 66 13 68 is the number to call, or you can text us 166 177, email studio@manxradio.com, and we are on WhatsApp. I'll say it properly this time as well. Just put us in your contacts, 07624 166 177. Thank you very much for your message, Dick. And Dick says, Bonzo commented after I highlighted yesterday that the new CEO of Visit Isle of Man was right in altering the government's target for visitors to 300,000 when in Tynwald last year it was debated, voted on and discussed in the media and set in the court of Tynwald of 500,000. My point was, says Dick, if this is too high or too, not that it's too high or too low, but my point is, what is the point in having it agreed and set in Parliament if a woman from across can come over and set the target however she wants when a democratically voted government in agreed it, but she disagreed and sets her own? I'm sorry, says Dick, this isn't how it works here. You might not agree, but we all have to accept we voted in government and we have to abide with their decision, even if it's wrong. Any other texts and emails, Howard?
There was one from Robbie here. Now, I don't know whether you read this one when I was talking to someone. You said you didn't know what the issue was.
Oh, that's to do with the recycling. Yeah,
that was the issue.
When I contacted Douglas Council, they weren't aware of any issues with collection and didn't know what the specific problem regarding Robbie's area was.
Ah, right. I'm with you on that one now. And Fiona said, I wish everyone would stop calling it a cost of living increase. According to Fiona, she says it's now afford to live. A lot of foodstuffs have doubled in price. It would be cruel not to support Allenson now, says Fiona. Well, there's absolutely no doubt about the fact that things have gone up substantially. And again, the trouble is every time we hear it, it's not just your foodstuffs. Like I say, it's the cost of living. We've been obviously hearing about Mike's Telecom putting their prices up today. We know about the electricity prices going up all the time. And for some people, it really is a case of what has to give in order to be able to pay the bills.
A message here from David in Tramode, and this is about the airport. Two issues. If EasyJet or any other airline cancel a flight because of their own operational failure, passengers are entitled to compensation of around £250, and there's an obligation to provide meals and accommodation for stranded passengers. Is the Isle of Man Airport similarly obliged to provide compensation and accommodate stranded passengers? And also he asks, how much of the issues cost the island's economy? I was due to have visitors from Wednesday, but they cancelled their trip after their flight was cancelled. I estimate their spending would have been around £500 for their visit, which is now cancelled. How many others have cancelled and has the island lost their income? Interesting point there. Thank you very much indeed, David. I'll find out about the obligations actually on the airport if it's an airport issue for people who might be stranded. G says, even better, let's pay for DOI, then pay local authority to do their work, then have to do it ourselves. Oh, G, come on. The sun's shining. It's the weekend. There is a message here about the passing of responsibility to local authorities for everything is all part of the 15-minute cities plan. Hindsight is great after time. Foresight is a conspiracy theory. Other text, H?
I think we're fairly up to date on most of the things now. There have been lots of comments coming in on the various areas. I will have to give a big shout out to Trevor earlier on for calling me young, of course, which is lovely. So
I could see your little face then. You were delighted with that.
If you wanted something to make your weekend, that could be it.
That could be. All right, let's talk about what your dream public space might look like, because urban planner Betty Lorenkova is working with Port Erin commissioners for people to share their ideas about what they would like to see and have around the town there. And they've also got this competition. It's been set up for children up to 11 years old to submit designs and creations with the chance to win a prize. Our local Democracy reporter Emma Draper has been finding out more.
A lot of people came with their own ideas that were quite creative, or I would say also with positive attitude. I was worried that people will come just to complain, but how the way people communicated them, there were more suggestions with the belief that things can be better.
It's kind of a bit of a stereotype that people here are not a fan of change. That's quite a stereotype. Is that something you came across or not really? really.
I feel that the places back in the day were more like that. People were walking more everywhere, so you bumped into your neighbours more often, and everything was more local. And, for example, there was a lot of mention of regular markets that also a lot of people mentioned that they were a thing of the past, and I kind of missed them. So it's quite interesting to, like, this. They don't want to change in a way, but what they're longing for already has been here, and they want to bring it back. It depends how you look at it, I would say. And one thing also that resonated through the survey and also through the discussion with the people was accessibility of different places. So it's quite a common topic. I have a lot of elderly people here who have mobility issues. So that was one thing that was mentioned that. So there was this caring for the others. It's really nice to see that people actually think about these things and they have their right ideas and they kind of have the right image or the vision of what the place should be and could be. And I think it's a great first step, actually.
So there's going to be a competition for younger kids. Is this in process?
That's in process. So we're still, the deadline is 28th of April. So it's like a last Friday of April. It's about portrayal of like a perfect square. So it's your opportunity to design traveled. They've seen squares around the world or even in the media, in the TV. You've seen nice places in towns that maybe you would like to see on the island. So this is your opportunity to create your own. And what we're trying to see is, again, what people incline to, what they like. We don't want to limit it too much on the what media could you use. So you can even bring like a three-dimensional models if you feel like it. You can use some toilet paper rolls or old boxes or kind of recycled things that you find around home. So yeah, be creative.
Be creative. That competition closes on the 28th of April and anyone with a design can send them to competition@porterin.gov.im. It is for children up to the age of 11, I'm afraid, Howard. You will not be eligible for that. Nick the Skip says, how about a topless bar in Port Erin?
Is that anything in particular, or is that a TT? Is that TT related, do you think, or just wishful thinking, or is he just thinking weekends and
he's just letting his mind
wander?
Yeah.
Hey? Well, you'd have to ask the Port Erin commissioners about that, I suppose. Whippy ice cream and well, I don't know.
Phil has been in touch, and this is following on from Robbie's comments about the recycling. Phil says there is definitely an issue about curbside collection up Stanley Place in Douglas, as boxes are still lying around there since Tuesday when they were supposed to be picked up. Oh, thanks for letting us know about that, Phil. And as I say, I mean, I was in touch with Douglas Council. I might give them another shout and just see if they are aware of any other issues, because last time they said they didn't know that there was any problem with any collections. There hadn't been anything specifically mentioned. There is a text here from number ending 602. The Infrastructure Department has just released new images of the crossing on Victoria Street. People's comments are saying it's an eyesore as bad as the Prom Randalls. See their Facebook page for more. It's like a patchwork quilt using the offcuts from the Prom. Why didn't we use something like a brickish red, which would have done the job? I suppose, is that thing, I don't know, do we just not like change? I think a local democracy reporter, Emma Draper, was saying that rather tongue-in-cheek there, but is it just we don't like it? We just like things the way that they've always been, maybe? Not sure. Message here about fibre. We were talking about this with regard to Manx Telecom, and that was one of the areas that they're not putting the prices up because they're aware that some people haven't got fibre yet. But Peter says it's not just in the hard-to-reach areas, major conurbations like Tramode Park do not have fibre. And a message from Matt on what he calls the backlash from the handling of the sex education debacle, claims that there is an anti-LGBT lobby. It's quite simply, says Matt, on the one hand, very concerned parents, and on the other, quite sensationalist media.
A text in also on the subject of the wind turbines causing bird deaths, which was raised a little bit earlier. I think was it Julian talking about that? And they're quoting some latest research from the RSPB UK. So this is UK generally, not on the Isle of Man specifically, saying that wind turbines are generally not a major cause of bird or bat death. And there's very little evidence that they've caused population level declines in any specific bird species. Nonetheless, we are well aware, this is the the RSPB in the UK that there are examples of badly located wind farms, partly as a result of the RSPB's effective opposition to inappropriately cited proposals. No wind farm currently in operation in the United Kingdom is a significant threat to any bird species. And certainly that's my basic understanding, that when they're putting up these farms, it's part of the whole planning and consultation process, talking to NGOs and groups like the RSPB, BTO and such like about, right, what are migratory routes and such like, and trying to avoid these major areas to keep any such deaths down. However, cats, it goes on, the most recent figures of how many creatures are killed by cats are from the Mammal Society. They estimate that cats in the UK catch in the order of 92 million prey items over spring and summer, of which around 27 million are birds. I'm happy to say my two cats, other than slugs, have never caught anything.
Slugs.
Ooh. They do catch slugs, mostly by rolling on them.
Now, just have a look at this, H. Nick has sent a photograph of the new Victoria Street crossing. And I just wonder, when you look at it, you can clearly see the red brick there, and it's very distinctive, so it makes it very aware that that's a crossing point. I wonder, from a visibility point of view, for perhaps somebody who might have visibility issues, is that the reason behind it, maybe?
It could be, and obviously it makes sense to make these areas stand out. I think, as you say, whenever there's any change in, particularly in the centre of town, in well-populated areas, you're never going to please all quarters and all parts of society and all the people. Some people will love it, some people not. From a practicality point of view, then surely you've got to try and make things like crossings as useful and as available for anyone, regardless of their age, whether they do have any disabilities, if they are partially sighted and such like. It would seem to make a lot of sense.
And just a final one here from Pauline. I can't get fibre, nor can anyone else in my road. Just spoke to Manx Telecom. Pauline says rip-off costs, have to pay £30 a month for a landline I don't use. And there's an interesting one. How many of you actually have a landline now? I mean, we've still got one at home, but I thought we don't really need it. Oh, look at this. Did I hear you right that there's a topless bar serving ice cream in Port Erin? That'll get visitor numbers up for the new CEO of tourism.
Well, sorry, I'm afraid it's just an idea at the moment. But, you know, if you think it would be a goer and you can get it past the authorities, it's a free world.
Certainly is. Thank you very much indeed, Howard. It's been a good 2 weeks. Just very quickly, a little aria.
A little, are you going to sing?
Nomination.
Oh, I see.
No, I'm not. Oh, I forgot bless. The word, if I'm completely honest. We've had an ARIA nomination. It's all down to you.
We have. It's not all down to me. It's down to a wonderful team that we had. Sadly, some of the guys, the likes of Chris Cave, of course, and Alex Bell, who we're used to hear now, gone on to work with the BBC, working with myself and a wonderful team we had doing IM1 and a best of compilation we put out at Christmas, went into the ARIA Awards for this year and are nominated in the ARIA Awards.
In the same category. Like Frank Skinner.
Frank Skinner and, yes, and Steve Coogan. So we're playing with the big boys.
Okay.
In the
I'll leave
sense.
It there. All right. It's a misnomer that people don't like change. They want change for the better, unlike the usual development we see on the Isle of Man. Oh, it's a bit of a downer to leave it on there. Sorry. But thank you so much for looking after us over the past couple of weeks. It's been absolutely lovely talking to you. Thank you for your comments, contributions, and also for talking on air as well. We really do appreciate it. Just a reminder, 682-631, that's our out of hours answer phone number. Leave a message on there for us. We can play it out or ask us a question and we will try and find the answer for you. Andy will be back at midday on Monday, as I say, a programme talking to members of the Manx Labour Party. Any questions for Joni Farragher or Sarah Maltby, then get those in ahead of time if you'd like to. Coming up next, Christy D with 1 to 3. So whatever you're doing for the rest of the afternoon and the weekend, have a great one and we'll talk to you again soon.